So good that you're here this morning. Once again, I want to say welcome to everyone that's here this morning. Welcome to everyone here that's online. So thankful that we can worship together as God's people in His house. Amen. Today, you know, if you're a bit discouraged, may you be encouraged. Because God is with us. God is for us. He's our fortress. He's our strength. And He's our supply. Today, with God, we can overcome and we can win every battle that we're in. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father God, let this day be a day of new beginnings. Holy Spirit, open up our ears to hear and open up our eyes to see insights, revelations through your word today about your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Today we're starting. Oh, kids are dismissed. I see the sign up there. They're probably already gone. Okay, I always miss that. Today, we're in this series, and we're going to learn something new. We're going to get some insights and some understandings and a personal. Today, I want you to get a personal revelation about this incredible thing called the kingdom of God and how it literally impacts our life. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is saying here, when you pray, start with praise. Good place to start. And then he says, when you pray, say, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, you probably know about this prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's called a model prayer. It's the most famous prayer in the world. Now, notice what Jesus said here. He said, when you pray, say, Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Pray it and say it. Now, how many of you have said this prayer before? Lift your hands. How many say it every day? That word kingdom, the word kingdom, is used 162 times in the New Testament alone. Now, when it's just mentioned once in the Bible, we know it's important. But when it's mentioned over and over and over again, you just got to pay attention, right? Jesus, when Jesus came from heaven to earth, his major message, his major announcement was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. In fact, you read your Bible, you read the New Testament, all the Gospels, you hear story after story, parable after parable. Jesus said these words, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is like. Now, why did he do that? You know why? Because he wants us to know what it is and how it operates in our lives and on this earth. He wants to know, because if we don't know, see, if we don't understand the principles of the kingdom, then we're going to live way beneath the promises and the privileges of the kingdom, right? And beneath the life that Jesus came to give us, right? Not only that, we'll find ourselves living under the philosophies and the pattern and the standards of this world. See, I believe that part of the problem is the country that we live in is a democracy. And I tell you, democracy is not a kingdom. It's totally different from being a kingdom. So, question, what is the kingdom of God? What is it anyway? Well, Kevin, I studied some lessons that Kevin Gerald was giving about the kingdom of God. And here's what he sees, and I think this is a great definition. What is the kingdom of God? A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over a territory, impacting that territory with his will, his purpose, and his intent, producing a culture and a lifestyle for his citizens. Say with me, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Every time Jesus taught about the kingdom, he was trying to bring the concepts and the culture of the king of the kingdom into this world he was invading. He was constantly trying to change the mindset of the culture and bring it the mindset of the kingdom, which is counterintuitive to this culture. You know, when Jesus started talking about the kingdom of God, people began to hear things they had never heard before. What Jesus was announcing to this wrecked, to this weary world, that is that God's new world is here. It's here now. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom invasion. And all of a sudden, the world starts to hear words it had never heard before. Words like this: neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Your faith has made you well. Or your sins are forgiven. Or Lazarus, come forth. Or he is not here. He is risen. Yeah. Right? It's a new world. And it's a new world now in Jesus Christ. And it's called the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom of heaven. Same. Means the same thing. So, in the teaching about the kingdom, Kevin Gerald gives 4 points, and I think this is an excellent sort of an explanation of what the kingdom is about. So, number one, every kingdom has four things in it. Every kingdom has four things. The first thing every kingdom has is what? A king. Who is the king? Jesus Christ is the king. He's a king with a kingdom, right? He's no longer just a baby born in a manger. He's no longer just the Son of God. He's not just a great teacher. He's no longer just our Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 says, now to the who? To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He's no longer a lamb being led to the slaughter. He's no longer a suffering servant, is he? He's no longer a lamb. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the world is about to hear his roar. And he's not just a king. He is the king of all kings. Amen? Every kingdom has a king, and Jesus is our king. Amen. Every kingdom has a king. Number two, every king has a government with laws and with rules and precepts and principles of God which are revealed in his word, in the Bible. It's a government that's based on his ways, his thoughts, which are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways, right? And it's with laws that are meant to protect us, to direct us, and to correct us, not to harm us or to control us, right? And it's with boundaries that the Bible said that are set in pleasant places for us. I love the Word of God. The laws are there to bless and to protect us. Amen? That's what the Word of God is. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the what? The government will be on his shoulders. The Bible says he came from heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth. He literally brought the government of heaven to earth. I want you to look at this next verse. Look at this next verse carefully. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be what? No end. No end. His government is going to keep on coming, and it's going to keep on coming, and it's going to keep on growing. Amen? His government is not limited. It is an unlimited government. It is literally unstoppable. We live in a democracy. In a democracy, you think of a government where you can actually debate your opinion, right? Where you have your preferences, where you can disagree, where you have a free choice. But in this type of government, there is no free choice. is there? Not when it comes to this government. See, the word of the king is law. The word of the king is law. We don't go and debate God's government and God's rule, do we? The moment you got born again, you became a citizen of this kingdom, of the kingdom of God. So when you're a citizen and you say, well, I'm a citizen of the king, you know what you're saying? That means I surrender my will, I surrender my way, I surrender my life to my king. Amen? But let's be honest. Let's be honest. There's this tendency in all of us. There's a struggle in all of us that wants to argue with God at times, right? And we don't, sometimes we argue with, you know, some of the things that the Bible tells us to do. And we have the struggle. Sometimes we want to take the scriptures out of context. Or sometimes we'd rather just pull scriptures and remove them from the Bible altogether, right? But listen, God's kingdom, your next point, God's kingdom is God's way of doing things. It's God's way. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Matthew chapter 5, throughout the Beatitudes, and throughout the Gospels, Jesus said words like this, you have heard it was said. You have heard it was said, right? But then he says, but I tell you. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Do good to those who persecute you. Amen? You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, even if a man even looks at a woman lustfully, in his heart, he has already committed adultery. You have heard your friends say, you have heard other Christians say, you have heard a lot of other people say, but I tell you, I'm giving you a different way of thinking. Once you start living God's way, once it begins to impact you, it'll begin to change who you are, and it'll literally change the way that people look at you. If the church of Jesus Christ, of the living God, started living the way he wants us to, according to his word, the world is going to stand up and notice. Vic Joyner, who is an incredible author, he's a founder of Morningstar Ministry. It's a prophetic ministry. It's a teaching ministry. It's in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had the privilege of going there a few years ago. He's a prolific writer. He's written all kinds of incredible books, prophetic books. And Rick Joyner said these words in an article. Karen just sent this to me. And I thought, wow, I've got to talk about this. Here's what Rick Joyner said in one of his articles. He said, Jesus said that in the world, you will have tribulation. That's John chapter 16, verse 33. So we are going to have trials in this life, right? We are going to have trials. Trials come for various reasons. Now, he gives us three reasons here. Some are allowed by God for our training and maturing so that we can fulfill our purpose in this life. Some are for our training and maturing for our purpose in his kingdom that is coming. Others are the result of our own folly and sin. These are unnecessary. It's true, isn't it? A choice that we can make that will help us avoid unnecessary trials is to make every major, major decision by seeking the kingdom first and put the interests of the kingdom above every other consideration. Oh, so true. He goes on to say, he said that if we would seek his kingdom first, he would take care of the other needs that we have. So if we constantly have other needs, maybe it is because we are not seeking his kingdom first. So much truth in that. He goes on to say this one line I'll give you. He says, yes, God causes all things to work for our good. No matter our, even if we, the trials that we have are our own fault, right? Yes, he's such a good God. God causes all things to work for our good. But that does not mean they work out for the best. I want the best, don't you? Every kingdom has a king. Every kingdom has a government. Number three, every kingdom has a territory. God's territory, God's kingdom territory is the whole earth. It's called his domain. The earth is God's domain. Kingdom, king's domain. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Can I say this? I have never in my life, in the whole time I've been a Christian, ever been drawn more to read Revelation than right now. There's something happening that God's saying, watch what's about to happen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world, listen, the kingdom of this world that we occupy in right now, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. I read that scripture and I realize there's way more going on in this world that God is doing than we realize. Amen? And it's just a matter of time before his kingdom fills the whole earth. There are people who are trying to control and take God's territory, take control of God's territory. I know there's always been people who have been trying to do that. There are demonic forces working through people who are open to being used by him. People who are, there are leaders, people who are powerful, they are wealthy, and they think they can take control of this world, and they can make it their own world, and they could direct it in the way that they think, right? And they're conspiring. But listen, even way back in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, the psalmist David said, why do the nations conspire? And the peoples plot, how? In vain. The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord. And it's happening today. It's happening then. It's happening today. And against his anointed. Who is his anointed? We are. We have an opposing force. But then he says, the one enthroned in heaven. What does he do? He laughs. And the Lord scoffs at them. Then he says, he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, on my holy mountain. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are those, all those, who take refuge in him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It says his territory, his domain. So you wicked people, don't mess around with his stuff, his kingdom. Amen? Amen? I think you know, he's trying to warn us. There was hell to pay. Don't mess with God's territory. It belongs to God. Every kingdom has a king, a government, territory, and the last one, every kingdom has citizens. And they're called ecclesia. The called out ones. The church. Let me say this, and it's true. The church is not man's idea. It's God's idea. And every government that does not consider the church essential is wrong government. Amen? The church belongs to God. The church is not a building, is it? The church is a gathering. The church is also a body with parts. We all different parts that function together. But when the church is not together, when it's separated, it does not function. Amen? You know, I love online church. online church, electronic church has been such a blessing to us. You know? I mean, I'm so thankful for online church. But would you not rather just look forward to the day when we all stand together physically and we worship the Lord together as one? Amen? Wouldn't we rather do that? Amen. There should be a resounding yes and amen. Amen? The church is the church when it gathers face to face. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Can I remind you today that you have dual citizenship, right? But first and foremost, you know what you are? You are a citizen of the kingdom. You are not of this earth. You are of heaven. Amen? So as a citizen, you see, I'm subject to the king. And his words to me are life. And his words to me have the highest and the final authority over my life. Amen? No matter what anybody else says, no matter what the government says, no matter what my best friend says, no matter what my wife says, God's word goes, right? It's final, and it has the highest authority. Amen? When you get under his kingship, that's how you get over the world. That's how you overcome. Living under gets you over. Amen? And the citizens of the kingdom, you know what they're called? Subjects. What does it mean to be subject? It means to be under. And it means to be under the king, to get below the king. When you're your subject and you say, I'm a citizen, that means I'm under the king. Amen? Our citizenship, or your citizenship, it's backed by the cross. It's sealed by the blood. It's based on the resurrection. And it's built by the king. Eternal, immortal, invisible. Amen? It's invincible. The kingdom occupies its territory through the church, through its citizens, through us. And the church, the very church that Jesus said, the gates of hell cannot stop. Amen? And Satan will try to do anything to stop his church from advancing. Listen, when just one soul gets saved, the church advances. The church wins. And when the church wins, the devil loses. Hell loses, right? When the church wins, darkness is turned to light. Bodies are healed. Blind eyes are opened. Deaf ears are healed. Souls are saved. Hell is emptied. Heaven is filled. Amen? Amen. Say with me, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. We need to say that all the time. When you get up in the morning, say, your kingdom come. When you're driving in your car to work, say, declare, Lord, your kingdom come. When you hear a bad report, your kingdom come. When you hear the negative news, don't listen to the CNN, constantly negative news, right? Your kingdom come, amen? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in this world, in my life. You know, it's absolutely, you know, this kingdom message, I mean, we could be preaching a lot of things, but there's something about this kingdom message that I felt that we just had to do in church. I think it's so absolutely crucial, so vital to understand the times that we are living in. We are living in different times right now. This time is not like the other times. And can I say this? If there's anything the world has ever needed more than now, it's for God's people to understand and to be a part of his kingdom. Amen? It's time. And this could be, and I agree, this could be God, the greatest time for God's people to be subject to the king. Amen? And instead of looking towards the present governments that are in this world to try to restore our world, we need to look up at the eternal king, the mighty king, and focus on his presence and power. Amen? His greatness. Amen? And we've got to remember, at the end of the day, You belong to the King. You belong to His kingdom. Amen? That's who you belong to. You don't belong to this earth. You're not destined to be here forever. You're only here for a limited time, a very short time. And on your PowerPoint, and this kingdom, we've got to understand, this kingdom of God is a counterculture to the kingdom of the world. The ways of the kingdom are counterculture to the ways of the kingdom are counterculture to the ways of this world. Amen? Here's a good example. If you go to a kingdom, there's a country that calls itself a kingdom called the United Kingdom. And Stuart used to be came from the United Kingdom. Now, if you go to the United Kingdom, you got to learn some of the customs of the way they live, right? If you go to the United Kingdom, we did that a few years ago, you got to learn to drive on the left-hand side of the road, right? Because if you don't, you'll get in trouble. Now, you can say, but I've always driven on the right side. Why do I have to do that? It doesn't make sense. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, get ready to be home with the Lord soon if you try. Amen? It's for your own safety and for your own protection. It's for your own blessing that you change to the ways of the kingdom for a way better life. At the end of the day, remember, more than anything else, where your allegiance lies is to the King of all kings and nobody else. Amen? Nobody else. You know, we look at our world, it's wrecked. You know, we see so many people. I see so many people going through different challenges in this season. This is a different season of life. So many people. I've seen so many people battling with illness, battling with serious diseases, cancers, and all kinds of diseases. You know, and I see so many people with mental health issues or family issues or marriage issues. But I want to tell you, but our King rules, amen? Our King rules and reigns over sickness, over disease, over depression, over hell, over darkness, over devil, amen? He reigns. We serve an all-powerful God who is eternal, immortal, and invisible, amen? He reigns. He rocks, amen? Let's give a thank to God. Thank you, Father. No matter what we're facing, Lord, today we can overcome and we can win because you are with us, you are our fortress, you are our supply, and you're our strength. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father in heaven, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in our lives over sickness, over fear, over discouragement, over depression, over darkness, over the doubts, over the devil, Lord. Father in heaven, we ask you to release power from heaven, power to heal, power to deliver, power to save, power to bless your people, bless your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Just keep your heads bowed for just a moment. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching here online, and you've never invited Christ into your heart. I want to tell you, today is the day to do that. And if that's you, and you've never given your heart, and you've never surrendered your heart and your will to God, this is the day to do that. And if you want to do that, and you give your heart and your life to Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life, saved from hell, delivered from sin, forgiven, it was all bought, paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross, then repeat after me this simple, short prayer. And the Bible says you would become born again, born into the kingdom of God with a brand new start, a brand new life, and a brand new eternity in a place called heaven. Are you ready for this? If that's you, please say this after me. Lord Jesus Christ, please be leader and be the Lord of my life. Please forgive me of every sin that I've committed. Today and now, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. Make me into that new person through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, Can you raise your hands? And if you just said that prayer, we just go back to the welcome lounge, and someone will greet you there. I think Karen will greet you there. And we'll tell you what your next faith step is, the greatest decision that you could ever make, is give your life and your heart to Jesus. If you're online, you said that prayer, will you touch that little symbol, that little hand at the bottom of the screen? Press it, and that lets us know that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then call the number on the screen, let us know, email us, let us know you said that prayer. We'll connect you to someone to tell you what your next great step of faith in your walk with Christ is. What a great decision you made if you made that decision today. I say congratulations, welcome to the kingdom of God, and welcome to God's house, God's family, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're not finished yet. We've got this. We're going to keep on celebrating, and Dave is going to help us do. Dave Clausen, please come and lead us in communion.
Good morning. I get to do the communion message this morning. If you came in and you did not grab a cup, you can go and grab that at this time. We do also have a gluten-free station there, so they're just in a Ziploc bags. You can grab those bags and join us in communion as well. So if you join that prayer with Pastor Doug this morning and give your life to the Lord, you are welcome to join us this morning as well. If you believe in Jesus and believe that He's your Lord and Savior, join us. And if you're from another church, you're welcome to join us as well. So, our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, He's saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. So communion is about remembering. It's about remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's remembering that we walk in freedom through Him, through what He has done. Freedom in the peace, joy, and the true freedom in what the cross represents. I think we sometimes think we know what freedom is, but it's freedom from guilt, freedom from the past. We need to, and that's the whole part of this whole thing, is we need to remember that we are free in Him. Today, as we take part, remember that He died for the complete forgiveness of your sins. As we get ready today, we are to examine ourselves. In verse 28, it says, Let a person examine himself, then and so eat then the bread and drink the cup. So if we hold unforgiveness or the wrong attitudes, we are to leave that today before we take communion. And it's quite a serious thing when you read through the scriptures that, you know, as you come before and you're ready to take communion, you're supposed to leave all those things behind you. It even talks about if you realize that you have unforgiveness towards a brother, you're supposed to leave right then and there and go and make sure that it's made right. So I'm going to just take you through a bit of a prayer, and I'll leave some silent time. And I want you to just enter in. I just want you to come before Him and just put the things at the cross that you know, maybe things that you're holding against somebody. A brother, a neighbor, or a wrong attitude, or maybe there's a sin that is constantly comes back to you. Well, Jesus, it was for your complete forgiveness. So that's your future past sins as well. Of course, He doesn't want us to live in sin. That's why we come to repent. And so just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness again this morning, and we want to leave all the things behind that we are able to walk in freedom. Complete forgiveness. So we just come before you, Lord. And as we sit in silence, Father, I pray that you hear those that are submitting the things that are holding them back, Father. Things that they're holding on to. Forgiveness that needs to be given, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are always listening. You're always willing to take our sins, our what you have done on the cross, Lord. You see Jesus when you look at us, Father. And we thank you, Father. So, join me this morning. You should all have a cup. You'll peel back the first part of the lid, which is clear, and you'll just take out the little wafer that you see inside there. So, eat and remember Jesus' body was broken for you. The same with the cup. Just peel back the second part of the lid, which for the drink. So, drink. And remember that Jesus' blood was shed for you and your complete forgiveness. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for you being able to come before you, Father, to remember what you have done for us on the cross, Lord. I pray that we truly are able to walk out in freedom, Lord, that we're able to share your word, share your kingdom, Heavenly Father. I pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.